Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, the girl with the blonde hair who disappeared as quickly as she showed up.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Do you have a real ghost story? If you do, we want to hear it. Call it in at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want an ad-free version of the show, you get advanced episodes, access to the complete archive, then you could become a premium subscriber. Oh, by the way, no commercials. You can sign up through Apple Podcasts. Try it for 3 days free. You could also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or go to ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes and Kathy Gordon is with me today.
I am with you today. Yay.
Yay, yay. So I've got a Facebook request today. And I'm thinking if I start corresponding with this person, that maybe I could end up on an episode of Dr. Phil.
What?
Yeah, because, you know, those women who are always sending the men money, I think this is one of those opportunities.
Oh, yeah. I like how you're looking at this as an opportunity.
Yeah, because I could just send him a lot of gift cards and stuff, because I'm sure that's what it's going to take to make this guy happy.
So all the money in your bank account.
His name is Lucas Dawn, D-A-A-N. Okay. I guess that's how you say it.
Dan?
It's got two A's.
Oh, okay.
So, and it sounds so legit. He's super handsome. And I just I just got this request today. So he's a medical doctor, MD/medical director at U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs.
Sure.
So he's got that going for him. He's a former licensed orthopedic surgeon doctor.
But he's former.
Former. Licensed orthopedic surgeon doctor.
Wonder why you'd let that license go.
No, I think because he's former at Montclair Hospital Medical Center. It's a hospital and a medical center.
Okay.
And then he studied at Western University of Health Sciences. That sounds amazingly legit.
And then
he did study at the University of Southern California and Occidental College.
Mm.
He lives in Beverly Hills and he's from Amsterdam and he's single.
Well,
checks
you know,
everything.
Well, I'm glad they put that Amsterdam part in there because that will explain the accent when you start talking to him.
And there's pictures of him in his mask. So I guess it's his kid.
Okay,
so yeah, this is in a picture of him in his scrubs. So I can't wait to start sending him
because, you know, the thing is, he lives in Beverly Hills. He probably needs money.
Yes. Well, because he's going to be stuck somewhere. There's a there's a picture of him and his kid. So I got the feeling it's just a matter of time before his kid gets in a horrific accident. And if he only had money, he could make it to me.
Or he's working with Doctors Without Borders and he's in this war zone and he can't get out of there unless you send him some of your money, probably.
And his son will correspond with me and be like, I really want you to be my mom. And my dad is stuck. What can you do to help us, please, Carol? So I'm kind of excited about the possibility of new relationship with Lucas Dawn. And I can get a, then you could go on the Dr. Phil show with me.
Yeah, I can be the family member who thinks you've lost your mind.
I assume that he's got new episodes because he's got his own TV network now.
That Dr. Phil, he's a wheeler and a dealer.
Yeah, so then you could get on there with me. But even if we have to make some shit up, Kathy, that's a free trip.
You think, Carol?
Because Dr. Phil.
People don't make stuff up that go on Dr. Phil.
You don't think so?
No, no, no. It's all for real.
No, but we can make some stuff up to get the free trip to California. My God.
And then we'll be in Beverly Hills where we can see.
And then we can reach
what's
out.
What's his name?
We'll have Dr. Phil reach out to him.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a picture of him with his dog, a picture of him with his grandma. It's like.
He sounds like a mighty fine guy.
This is good. I like he wrote a little bit about himself and it's just full of typos and stuff. I can help him with his English. So this is going to be good.
And heaven knows people from Amsterdam can't speak English.
Yeah.
I have students from Amsterdam, from the Netherlands, from Amsterdam, and their English is impeccable. They are some of my best students. So I don't see somebody from Amsterdam having that problem, but
Well, we both know that he will not have an accent like that. He's going to. So we'll see what happens. Well, okay. No. So remember a couple weeks ago, we had a story about the woman who came home and she saw the kid in the red hoodie on her apartment step.
Right.
And,
yeah.
Like the kid had black eyes and everything. Uh-huh. She wrote in another story.
Oh, okay, good.
Yes. So this woman is kind of fascinating.
What's her name?
Her name is Crystal. And
Crystal, okay.
So she's fascinating to me because it's the same apartment. Wait till you hear the story. So anyway, okay. It goes like this. And I think if you haven't listened to that episode, I think it's called The Boy in the Red Hoodie or something like that. Okay. It says, I wrote in a while back about a black-eyed child in a red hoodie. I heard you read my story and it made my night. I work night shift and spend a lot of my time listening to your podcast. Your banter and stories about your own lives and experiences help the night go a lot faster. Thank you for that. It was a very nice thing to say. Thank you for that. Yeah. Regarding my story, you are absolutely right. I have always wondered why this being showed up at my front door. While my husband and I have both had some odd experiences throughout our lives, nothing like this has ever happened before or since. That time in our lives, however, had been pretty active and stressful. A few months before, our 9-year-old nephew suddenly passed on. We were both in a pretty dark place and trying to keep it together. Usually in times of stress or sadness, we would have strange occurrences happen. This brings me to the next one. I wonder why that is. In times of stress or sadness, strange things start happening. Maybe it's just the energy changes or they kind of feed off of it or sense that. I don't know. Once it says this one happened maybe 3 or 4 months later after the red hoodie kid. We still lived in the same apartment, still doing our normal things. This day, I was once again driving home from work. As I got closer to my exit, I noticed a large police presence lined up down the road to my turnoff. It seemed to be a checkpoint. I watched as two officers went from car to car down the line, talking to the drivers and looking inside the cars. They seemed to be turning the cars away as a lot of people were turning around. Frustrated at the prospect of not being able to get home after a long day, I ran scenarios through my head of what to do if I couldn't get home. They were right in front of the entrance to my apartment. Before I knew it, an officer was at my window. I'd already rolled it down in preparation, and he asked where I was going, and I told him I was trying to get to my home and pointed out my driveway. The other officer looked in the back seat of my car and spoke up, asking if he could look in the trunk. I figured, why not? It's odd, but I wasn't hiding anything, and I just wanted to get home. They looked at my trunk, closed it, and told me I could go ahead and drive home, but the road was closed just past the turnoff for my apartment. Curious and worried, I drove on home. There was a small hill right next to my building as we were the last building in the row. Lights from their cars could be seen and I could hear people talking, but not much else. I went on inside my apartment thinking I would check the news. My two dogs met me at the door and quickly distracted me, a large husky and a long-haired chihuahua. Eager for attention and ready to play, it was easy to put what was going on outside out of my mind as I greeted them and made sure they were taken care of. While changing out of my work clothes in the bedroom, I could hear them bouncing around in the living room. Thinking it was odd because they normally followed me everywhere when I got home from work, I hurriedly changed, thinking they were eager to go out on their walk. Expecting to see them pacing in front of the door when I walked into the living room, I instead froze in place at what I saw. They were bouncing around each other in the middle of the room, focused on a young petite blonde woman smiling down on them. Naturally, I would be shocked to see anyone other than my husband in my apartment, as we were the only people who lived there. This was more shocking, as she was transparent. The TV that sat against the wall could be seen through her. She looked to be about 16 or 17 with blonde hair to her shoulders and a noticeable pink streak down one side. There was a subtle blue glow around her. She smiled down at my dogs, who were completely focused on her. She ran a hand over each of their heads and proceeded to walk through my couch and through the wall where the barks of the golden living next door could be immediately heard. My husky watched her until she disappeared, then in true husky fashion, seemed to forget all about it and ran to me ready for her walk. I was stunned and trying to figure out if what I had just seen was real. There wasn't much time to reflect, however, as my two dogs were now scratching at the door. There would be a mess to clean up if I didn't hurry. As soon as I came back inside from our walk, I flipped on the news. Not surprisingly, the scene displayed was from the road outside my apartment. It pictured the dog daycare that was across the road. It turns out that a 17-year-old woman who was out in the yard playing with the dogs when her 19-year-old boyfriend showed up. An argument ensued, and in his anger, he used the pistol that he had brought with him, taking her life. Then he fled the scene as she passed away in the yard. It was a heartbreaking story, and my heart ached for this young woman and her family. They showed a photo of her playing with the dogs. It was the same woman I had just watched walk through my apartment and play with my dogs. Pink streak in her hair and all. Due to her obvious love of dogs, I like to believe that she stopped by to play with mine as she went on her way. Neither my husband nor I consider ourselves to be sensitive in any way. However, this is just one of the many experiences we have had. My husband started jokingly asking if our apartment was a way station for those who had just passed. I will see if I can get my husband to write in. He is a much better writer than I am. Ha ha. Neither of us likes the sounds of our voices, so we prefer to write things down. Thank you for listening. We will write again soon, Crystal.
Hmm.
So, Crystal says... Neither my husband nor I consider ourselves to be sensitive in any way. She is, though. She's seen two apparitions, or two. She saw an apparition, and then she saw the black-eyed kid in the red hoodie.
Yeah.
So I would like throw out, we don't consider ourselves to be sensitive. I would like start considering yourself to be sensitive.
Oh, I would too. And I find it really interesting that this, I'm going to go with ghost here, didn't seem to notice her, but the dogs.
And she said there's a dog daycare right there. So I don't know if the girl was attached in some way to the doggy daycare or if she lived next door to it, had her own dogs. But obviously, she really loved dogs.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that was interesting that the spirit didn't seem to recognize her, though she could see the spirit. And then just the spirit was only interested in the dogs and then walked into the next house where there were more dogs.
Yeah.
And played with dogs.
But it's so interesting that, you know, you'd get in your house after, that'd be unnerving anyway. Because you just walk in after... Like, what is going on outside? Because something pretty horrendous is going on. They checked her trunk.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when that happens, it's like they're looking for something that could be hidden in a trunk, which seems like a body or a gun or evidence of some kind.
Yeah.
And then to walk in your house and see that, and then when you turn on the news, it's like, oh, my God, that's the girl I saw.
Yeah. Well, and it said that she had a blue aura, and I think blue auras are usually considered peaceful, calm auras.
Because the kid, the red hoodie, if you haven't listened to that episode, go back and listen to it, because that kid did not feel peaceful, and that felt evil.
No. That did not feel right at all.
So I don't know what, obviously two very separate things, but it's like, what the heck is going on with her apartment?
I know her husband said it as a joke, like, do you think we're some sort of, you know, way station, you know, of going, people going this way and people going that way, you know, spirits transcending, go through our apartment or something. But do you think there is something to it?
I don't know, because there's two things that have happened.
That's what I'm wondering. And, you know, maybe there's some things that they haven't seen. that are happening too. It almost makes you wonder if there is some connection there.
And,
you know,
with this girl passing so suddenly and tragically, and then as she leaves this earth, she wants to experience more animals, which mm-hmm. I find so beautiful and sad.
Or you may
and
just,
tragic.
Yeah, and, you know, I just get a feeling that, it, like, we've talked about this before, that, you know, when you die, maybe your spirit is just here for a little bit. Now, some may stay a very long time, depending. But just for, I think a lot of spirits, like I've always said my magic thing is 3 days, but I would say 3 to 5 days. Maybe you get that feeling that, you know, after you've lost someone that they're there. And I think maybe they can move around
mm-hmm.
and, you know, take their time, and maybe they have a little bit to say goodbye and to kind of, you know, give us some blessings as they're going. And but she, like you said, she seemed to be, the girl seemed to be peaceful, calm, playing with the dogs, had the blue aura about her. And so I do have that feeling, and maybe there are places, I don't know. Are there physical places that they need that they go to transcend, or people that help them, you know, that are connectors to this other life?
And it seemed to have absolutely nothing to do with the woman. She just saw it.
Right.
And then I think it's so sweet. Like, dogs are just dogs, but it's like, yay, somebody here to love on us. Okay, now let us out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They don't give a shit that it was not a real person.
Mm-hmm.
They were
you know,
it was a good energy to them, which says
right.
a lot.
I agree.
I just think that was a really fascinating story. And I'm sure that your speaking voices are incredible.
Yes. So, Crystal.
That's a funny thing. We're all like
stories.
That. We're all like
oh,
that.
Yeah.
Nobody likes the sound of their own voice, and I don't know why.
Mm.
Well, here is our next story.
Hi, my name is Rebecca. I'm from Virginia. I'm 33. And I have a story to tell. There was a friend that I grew up with named Issa, and I knew him since I was 7 and he was 6. We lost contact during high school. He went to go live with his mother. And a few years ago into my early 20s, I started having memories of him pop up, and I'm just like, okay, that's random, you know, random memories. And then I go to bed and I have a dream where Issa is telling me, hey, I just died. Can you tell my dad that I'm okay? And, you know, I wake up and I'm like, you know, that's a weird dream. I get on Facebook, and sure enough, it's all over Facebook that he just died. I didn't tell the dad anything because, you know, who would believe, you know, his son just died. Like, you know, it's just, that was crazy to me. But as life was going on, I'd be driving in my car, and I'd feel Issa sitting in the passenger seat, and in my mind's eye, I would get this, like, vision of him being like, please, you got to contact my dad. Please, you got to contact my dad and tell him I'm okay. And, you know, I kept having dreams where he was like, hey, I'm not dead, but my dad's dead. You know, you need to talk to him. And, you know, this kept going on. So finally, after several months of feeling like Issa's in my car, having these dreams, where he's begging me to contact his dad, I finally send his dad a message on Facebook and tell him about the dreams that I've been having. And the next day, I get an email from his dad saying I was up all night praying for a sign that Issa's okay, and I woke up to your message. So, yeah, that's just a little story. That's not the only time that that's happened to me. You know, I've heard that maybe I might be a psychic medium. I don't know. But in my 20s, I started having, you know, dreams where people were coming in telling me, hey, you know, I just died. Can you tell so-and-so this? But Issa was my first one. All right. Hope you enjoyed the story. You have a wonderful day.
I think that's so interesting.
Well, and it's almost like the timing, the fact that she didn't do it right away and waited,
mm-hmm.
what kind of like was what the dad needed. Because you know what it feels like? I always say when we lose someone, there's like this time, like when immediately it happens, you're in such shock and you don't even remember a lot talking to people and doing things a lot necessarily. But, you know, everybody's all concerned. And then you hit about the 6 weeks, 2 months period, and everybody's pretty much gone back to their regular lives now. But you haven't. And you can't, and it feels like everybody's just kind of forgotten about them, who mm-hmm. you know, whoever it was that you lost. And you feel like you're kind of the only one that's still remembering them because nobody says anything anymore. And, you know, you just begin to feel really alone and in your isolation of your grief. And I'm guessing that that's about the time period where the dad was beginning to feel real isolated and really alone. And then here was this, you know, and even to the point, it's like, I need a sign. And how many times have you thought that?
Oh, yeah. Right?
I need a sign. I need a sign. And then, my gosh, to have that be your sign.
I think it's beautiful.
I do, too.
Because you do need that. And you know, with... when one of your friends or loved ones is going through grief like that, even if you don't have a sign from Issa or, you know, that loved one that came to you in a dream, I think it's so important about the 3 to 4 week mark, 5, 6, 7, 8, mm-hmm. check in with them because they're not okay. They're pretending to be okay, but they're not okay. And like you said, everyone's moving on and, you know, you as the person grieving isn't talking about it because you've convinced yourself nobody wants to hear it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that everybody else has moved on, but you can't. But man, having someone reach out and say, out of the blue, and say, are you okay? I'm thinking about you. I know this is hard. Do you want to go get a coffee? You want to go get a beer?
Mm-hmm.
And just talk. It's important. So even if you don't have a beautiful message like that, reach out.
Yeah, I do. One time, you know, like, because I always try to do like around 6 or 8 weeks, because mm-hmm. that to me was the time where I began to feel real alone,
mm-hmm.
you know. And one time there, I knew a woman who I didn't know her real well. Like, I worked with her, but she was in a different department. And I just had, you know, dealings with her, you know, here and there. We weren't real close or anything. And her son committed suicide. And so, you know, immediately I sent her a card or did whatever and said I was so sorry. But then, like, at about 6 weeks, I got a little plant or something. And I went into her office and I said, you know, I just wanted you to know that, you know, I know that this is still really painful for you, even though maybe it feels like people are, like, life is going on. But, you know, there's still a lot of people out here that think of you and I want you to know that... you know, that we still care. And, you know, she immediately burst into tears, but then she was so happy and hugging me and thanking me, you know.
Yeah.
Because it was, she said, it does. It feels like everybody's forgotten him. Like, okay, that was the other day and we've moved on.
And the reality is people just don't know what to say.
Exactly. And that's what I told her. I said, oh, I don't think it's that people, you know, it's just that people are scared to bring it up, you know. And so,
but better yet, if you have a message in a dream, share it with them.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I always think that. And maybe it's not, and I think maybe it's not the time at the funeral or at, you know, and maybe the time is give them some space and then let them know.
Yeah.
So I think her timing maybe was obviously it was
perfect.
Really good. Yeah.
And
obviously it was
the
perfect.
Dad needed to hear that. I just think that's so special. Very special. Mm-hmm. That's a gift.
Yeah.
So if you have a real ghost story, share it with us. If you want to call it in, it's 855-853-4802 or write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And remember, if you want no commercials, advance episodes, and access to the entire archive, all you have to do is become a premium subscriber. You can do that through Apple Podcasts. Try it for 3 days free. You could also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thanks for listening.